together, the King James, starting with verse 33 of Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 33. We'll read to the end of the chapter together. Here we go. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were yet grieved not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, "Have ye here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. We notice from here the basics of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose on the third day. And notice in particular verse 47, that caught my eye this morning in the New American Standard, verse 47. And that repentance for a forgiveness of sins. Repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And so we find that whosoever will receive Christ's resurrection, believe in it, and turn away from the world, and turn away from the world. Salvation is based upon repentance. Will receive in his name forgiveness of our sins. We are not called saints in vain. We are God's godly ones. So becoming a Christian means that we receive Christ's resurrection, and that if we are willing to repent and turn from our sins, that we will receive forgiveness in His name. That's in the 47th verse, the passage we just read. We notice that after He rose from the dead, Christ spent 40 days, a month and 10 days, a month and 10 days on this earth before He ascended. He appeared to many people, and I got to thinking about that too, and how would you like to be able to live on this earth and yet not be subject to any pain or fear or physical limitations? Would you like that? Christ was here for a month and 10 days. What He did, we don't know, except a few things that are recorded in the Scripture. What did He do? I don't know. But in one sense of the word, it was not necessary for Jesus Christ to rise from the dead, because, unlike us, He had eternal life before He was born. He was in heaven before He was born. He appeared many times on earth before He was born, such as on Sinai with Moses. He was the Lord of Abraham. He was the Shekinah glory in the tabernacle. He was already living in eternal resurrection life. It was no new thing to Christ to be eternally alive. The purpose in Christ's resurrection is His resurrection in us. That is what is different. It is not that He was a mortal man and that He rose from the dead, and this is what we celebrate. He was alive eternally before He was born. It's no new thing to Jesus to be alive. He's been alive from eternity. And so the great thing that is so great about Christianity, looking at it from this viewpoint, is not that He rose from the dead, but that and is alive forevermore because He was alive before He was born, but that He is born in us. That is what is different. That is why He came. There was no need for Him to come to earth so that He might have eternal life. The reason that Christ came to earth is that He might be raised in us. He is the resurrection and the life within us. So what we want to talk about this morning is the thing that is on God's heart, the thing that is important from the standpoint of Christ and of God, is His resurrection in us, in you and me, not that which is external to us, but that which is internal to us, transforming and part of our being. That is what God is interested in. That is where the victory is, that Christ has been raised within us. Now, we know He's raised from the dead. He was raised physically out of the cave of Joseph of Arimathea. We know that for a fact. But I want you to see that the thing that Jesus is interested in is His resurrection in you and in me. And that's why He came, because He had eternal life before He was born. So that was not His objective, to be alive. His objective is to be alive in you.
and to be alive in me.
Hallelujah.
You notice how much has been said about this. Whenever we're on the right track, whenever the church is on the right track, we're all moving together in the Spirit. Everybody's saying the same thing. And I listen for these things. Check out my own burden. Did you see how many times this was said this morning in music? How do you know Jesus lives? Sure, you sang it this morning because he lives in here. This is what is central to the resurrection. How do I know he lives? He lives within my heart. All right, we're going to talk then about our resurrection because our resurrection is Christ in us. This is the kingdom of God. He is the resurrection, and he is in us. And so our resurrection and his are tied together. And I want to point out a couple of facts about the resurrection here. First of all, there is an outer resurrection, and there is an inner resurrection. And this inner resurrection is in two parts. First, that which is taking place on April 6th of 1980, which is so important, which is the burden of the Lord today, which is what you are dealing with on this Sunday, if you're in the Spirit. This is what is happening to you. Secondly, something which I think to its greatest extent is future. And we shall see. Let's talk a little bit first about the outer resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:52. Speaking now of that which God and Christ are interested in, that is the raising of Christ within us. Within us. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. 1 Corinthians 15:52. This is speaking of the resurrection of the body, the outer resurrection, the resurrection of our house, our body, and it's being clothed upon. 1 Corinthians 15:52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable. Praise the Lord. You're looking forward to that? Oh, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to being on this earth for 40 days. More than 40 days, too. No more pain, no more fear, no more dread, no more limitations of the flesh. We'll be changed in a moment. Instantaneous. This is more than a healing of our body, such as in the case of Lazarus or the son of the widow of Nain. It's not a healing of the body. It's an eternalizing and glorifying of our body, so we'll have the same capabilities, the same powers that Jesus had on earth that he showed before his ascension. We notice in the scripture that Paul groaned for the redemption of his body. Don't you find that strange? Did you ever groan? Oh, praise the Lord. Did you ever groan for the redemption of your body? Did you ever do that? Did you ever groan for the redemption of your body? Say, oh, God. Oh. Oh. That this body of mine will be changed. Did you ever do that? We groan to go to heaven. That's a different groaning. One is for our escape. The other one is for the fullness of unlimited ministry. Hallelujah! To be released. Jesus said, how am I straitened? All saints, the glory of the resurrection is not to escape. It's to be released. To be released. Oh, that God would release us and redeem this flesh. from the sin. Free us from death. That's the resurrection. That's what God is after. Paul wanted to be free, to be minister, apart from the limitations of his body. What a day. Hopefully not far off. It's instantaneous miracle. We shall be changed into imperishable life in our body in the twinkling of an eye, it says. This is the outer resurrection. It'll take place in the future when the Lord returns. Now we want to talk about what God is dealing with today. We can't deal with that now because that is for the future. We want to deal now with the inner resurrection. And of the two, this is the more important because this is the basis for this. This is the basis for this. This is what God is after today. In your life. This is what Paul meant when he said, I'm seeking to attain that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's today, April 6, 1980. The resurrection, the Easter that's important to us today is today's portion of resurrection, internal. And I said when I started that it's in two parts. First, the forming of Christ in us. This is going on today. This is the new creature that the Bible talks about. This is what Ephesians 3 talks about when it says that you may be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is a transformation of you. This is going on today. This is why our problems, saints. This is what we must not neglect. This is the salvation of Hebrews that we must not neglect. That's the danger. It hasn't a case of you can't make it or I can't make it because of our lack of religious zeal or knowledge. That's not the case or the trouble. It's not the case that it's so high up the pyramid that we're unworthy. That's not the trouble. The problem is neglect, which is an issue of time and attention. That is our challenge as Americans in April 6, 1980, is that we pay careful attention to the transformation of the inner man, the resurrection that is taking place, that is the basis for the outer resurrection and the basis for the abiding of Christ. Because we studied on last Tuesday night that Christ will dwell in your hearts as you're strengthened by might in the inner man. All right. There can be no successful outer resurrection, as we can see. You cannot put an imperishable body upon a sinful, rebellious, and self-willed soul who is living and behaving far from the Lord in an ungodly manner. Christ can save such. He can take you to heaven if you're an ungodly, rebellious person by destroying your flesh. He can do it. You remember in 1 Corinthians 3 it says, some are saved by fire. And in 1 Corinthians 7, he says that I have delivered them over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit may what? Be saved. You see, you can be saved. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about going to heaven this morning. You could go to heaven and Jesus is still external to you. He's still external to you. The resurrection has not been accomplished. He's still external. The resurrection that God is looking for is in you. In you. I don't think the saints in heaven have it. Going to heaven doesn't solve anything in these matters. It's merely a change of location. The scripture says they without us cannot be made perfect. I believe they too are waiting for what God has for us in the end time, the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you remember, and listen carefully now, listen carefully to this thought, if you will. Adam and Eve were put out of the garden lest they should take of the tree of life. Now why? Why could they eat the tree of life and then all of a sudden they were barred from the tree of life? Why? Because of the guilt of their sin? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the reason they were put out was not because of the guilt, but what sin had done to them. It had driven them from God. It had caused them to lose faith in God, and they hid. And if God had given them eternal life, they would have had eternal life without sin. It wasn't because they were guilty where the danger was. It was because they did not have faith in God. It was because what sin had done to them. And you see, when we come to Jesus and He forgives us, the guilt is gone. But we still may have many things in our personality unreconciled to Jesus. And therefore, to have us partake of an outer resurrection would be to do what God forbade in Eden. It would be to clothe us with eternal life while we were still unsure of whether we want God or whether we don't want God. How many of you this morning, how many of us this morning can say right now, God is central in my life. He can take what He will. Jesus is center. He can take my family. He can take my job. He can take my life. If you can say that, you are reconciled to God. If you cannot say that, you are still at enmity against God. In a part of your personality, you're saying to Him, you will come thus far and no further. God will not call that with eternal life. He will not do it. Because you see, that is the result of Eden's sin. That lack of trust that God knows what is best is the result of Eden's sin. And you can't get to the tree of life until you overcome. Revelation 2nd chapter, to him that overcomes, will I grant to eat the tree of life. So resurrection is for the overcomer. So we're not talking about our body being destroyed because of our sin and rebellion against God and our spirit being saved. That's not the resurrection. Christ is still external to us. He might as well have stayed in heaven and brought us up to be with Him. No, that's not Easter. Easter is what is taking place in your life. And it is utterly demanding and utterly glorious. And I think we have to do what we will with the inner resurrection as far as the forming of it today, because the looks of things we don't know, you know, you don't know from one day to the next. So there is no time to waste, and there is no time to neglect God till we're older or things are more appropriate. The issue is joined today. Tomorrow, who knows? Yeah? That's right. It's a day at a time from now on. Teach us to number our days. It says in the 90th Psalm. We need to do that. So the inner resurrection is the issue on April 6th. The inner resurrection is the forming of Christ in us, the abiding of Christ in us,
has to do with Christ himself coming through the Spirit into that which has been formed in us. Put the two work together. I think the abiding to a certain extent will be coming in the near future because it will be our resistance against Antichrist. It will be a special treat that God has reserved for the end time. You remember it says in 1 John, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so God has a special treat for us in the end time. We're going to have an inner revelation of Christ, greater, the same that we have now, only much greater. The fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles. Paul, we found in Philippians 3, seeking the inner resurrection. Not being saved, but seeking the inner resurrection. The inner resurrection does not take place when we go to heaven. It does not take place when the Lord comes again. It takes place today through the travail of the church. The inner resurrection takes place today through the travail of the church, the ministries of the church. The beginning of experiencing the resurrection of Christ within ourselves. All right, we turn to John 16. Well, follow me very carefully, if you will. Read in the New American Standard, John chapter 16, verse 16. John 16, verse 16. Now, we're talking about the inner resurrection, which we say is central, the central message of Easter. The thing that Christ is most concerned about is being raised within you. He didn't change the cave of Joseph of Arimathea, but I'll tell you who changed you. Praise the Lord. A little while, and you will no longer behold me. I think that he meant here that he would be crucified and descend into the interior of the earth, and then ascend to the Father, and so they no longer would be able to behold him. But after he ascended to the Father, he would be able to come to them through the Holy Spirit, and they would know he is risen because he has come to dwell within them. Now look at the terminology. Verse 16. You will no longer behold me, and again, a little while, and you will see me. Now what I'm saying is that this means that Christ left, he ascended, he was no longer visible. When he reappears again to the disciples, he reappears within them. And that this is not talking about his second coming. Okay, now let's go to John chapter 14, verse 19. Just two chapters back, so we're still in context of 16:16. All right. Now remember, he said, you won't see me, and then you will see me. All right, now let's look at John 14:19. We'll see if this interprets this. After a little while, the world will behold me no more. Behold. But you will behold. You will behold. Because I live, you shall live. Now, we sang that this morning, didn't we? I live because he has risen. Now look at verse 20. In that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Now, the keeping of the commandments has to do with the forming of Christ in us. In other words, you say, well, how do I know if this is going on? This is going on if you can tell your personality is being changed. How do you know that this inner resurrection is taking place? If you are exactly the same on this Easter Sunday as you were last Easter Sunday, it is not taking place. Because this is not a question of doctrine, it's a question of an actual experience of Christ being formed in us and abiding in us. It transforms. There's a new creature, holy, totally new, and all things are of God. It is a change, brother, sister, from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. It's real. It's substantial. It transforms us into the image of Jesus. This is the inner resurrection. This is what God is after. See it? See it in the scripture here? All right. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he loves me. And he shall be loved of by my Father. Verse 21. And I will love him and will disclose myself to him. I will disclose myself to him. Now remember he had said in 16:16, you will not see me, but then you will see me. And I submit that this is what he's talking about here. Verse 22, Judas not Iscariot said to him, Lord, what then has happened to you that you are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? In other words, how is it going to be when we die and go to heaven? When you come again, what are you talking about? See, the problem is, when we go to heaven, he's still external. The resurrection hasn't taken place in us. I've read several books that have come out recently about people that have gone to heaven. The most notable is that by Rebecca Springer. How many have read Rebecca Springer's book, Intramurals? Beyond Great. How many have read Marietta Davis' book? How many have read Dr. Ritchie's account of Life Beyond the Grave? How many have read this new book, Seeing the Invisible, that has the account of all the others? The little girl named Daisy. You know, that's, you're interested in these other world topics? All right. I have not read one, and if anyone in here is differently, I'd be glad to read your book. Trade you. I have not read one single account of a person going to heaven where they dealt with an internal experience. It was Jesus was always external to their experience. He was always somewhere over here. They would see, in Rebecca Springer, she would see Jesus who loved the children. He came and talked to her and prepared her for the coming of her husband, prepared her for the coming of her relatives. He was external. The same is true of the vision of Marietta. She fell at his feet. The same is true of Dr. Ritchie. He came and led it. Not one corresponds with John 14 or John 16 or John 17. Not one of them. And I submit to you it's because it hasn't taken place in heaven yet. It will happen to them when it happens to us. They without us cannot be made perfect. The preparation goes on, probably in earth and in heaven. The forming, that Christ may be born in your heart, that you may be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We cannot receive the glory that God has for us until we are changed. You can't put the new wine in old bottles. Don't neglect it. This is salvation. This is the resurrection. This is Easter. This is what it's all about. Not the cave of Joseph of Arimathea. That's wonderful. That has its place. That makes it possible. That makes it possible. But as we said, Christ already had that before he was born. He didn't have to come to the world to have eternal life, except in you. He had to come to the world to be raised in you. Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. You know what the mystery of the gospel is? Christ in you. Not Christ with you. Christ in you. How, Judas said, how are you going to do this? Here it is, from the Bible. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. There is never any confusion in the Scripture concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is talking about the Father and the Son. We will come unto you, unto Him, and make our abode with Him. It's an inner abiding. And I would suggest to you that this, that none of us, probably in this room, unless you're a secret saint, a lot more than I have, but I see this experience. I see it in the Scripture.
I don't claim to have it to any great extent. I take Brother Fullerton's word for it. Brother Fullerton, Brother Skull, and Dr. Price were three heroes of faith of a generation ago. And they were into this experience. They're into it. They're all three Pentecostal. And they're pressing past Pentecost. You can read it in Dr. Price's books, later books, latter books. Brother Fullerton and Samuel Skull did not write books. But Audrey and I heard both of them talk, particularly Brother Fullerton. And they were pressing into the Feast of Tabernacles. And I believe that it will be for a great deal more, for the body of Christ, before the Lord returns, that this experience, which we may have in a small measure now, will be grand, glorious, visible, because the emphasis is not upon your feeling of me or being moved by, but seeing. I don't see Christ. Oh, in a way I do. I know He's with me. I know He's in me. I know He lives because He lives within my heart. But I think there's more here. There's more here. You will see me. And I believe that God has kept the good wine until now. The good wine. And I believe He's getting the body of Christ ready so that in the days of Antichrist, He is going to enter into His body in the Feast of Tabernacles. And we are going to have Him who is within us will be greater than Antichrist. And we will see our Lord exactly as John says so many times, you will see me. But what is important today? The forming. Not the abiding of Christ in us through the Spirit. That's Christ Himself. But there has to be something that happens to you and me. You see, that's the difference between the Old Covenant and the New. In the Old Covenant, the Spirit came on men like Jephthah and Gideon and Samson. But when it left them, they were unchanged. The difference in the New Covenant is that we ourselves are changed. We are changed. We are transformed. We are made new creatures. And that new creature is not Jesus Christ, and it is not us, but it is a new creature who has come from the eternal union of Christ and you. And it is in that new creature that the Father and the Son will come through the Holy Ghost and abide. Because that new creature is the kingdom of God. That new creature is the house of God that is being built. And that's what's happening to us today. And that's why the demands. We're moving from an interior knowledge, an exterior knowledge of Christ, to an interior knowledge of Christ. That's the transformation. Back to John 16 now. Notice what the Lord says. Verse 16, a little while and you will no longer behold me, and again a little while and you will see me. Verse 17, some of his disciples therefore said to one another, what is this thing that he is telling us? A little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I go to the Father. And so they were saying, what is this that he says a little while? We do not know what he is talking about. Verse 19, Jesus knew that they wished to question him, and he said to them, are you deliberating together about this that I said, a little while and you will not behold me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. And so, the world goes on its way rejoicing, doesn't it? The United States goes on its way rejoicing. Christ isn't bothering our nation too much. Do you know that? He's not bothering us too much. We go on. Hollywood can crank out his garbage. And New York can go on and with its antichrist ways. And Washington can go on with its self-seeking. But the Lord isn't bothering us. You know what I'm praying? I'm praying that the Lord will bother us. I'm praying that God, and I think, saints, that God has given me faith for the prayer. I feel an assurance in my spirit that He has heard. I'm sure many, many people are praying. That's probably why it's heard.
I'm praying that Christ will become central in the United States, central in our educational system, central in our government and politics, and central in our economics. And I think I have faith. I think God is going to do that. I don't know how, but I believe He's going to do it. Our nation will be known as the nation in which Christ is central. I believe that. I absolutely believe it. Hallelujah. Imagine that. Christ central in our education. Christ central in our politics. And Christ central in our economics. Hear me, Father. I believe that in Jesus' name. I want to be bothered. I want to be bothered. So he says, the world goes on its way rejoicing. But he says, our sorrow will be turned into joy because Christ is being formed within us and will abide in us to a greater extent than we have known. And in this manner, we attain to the first resurrection. That's Paul's expression. That's in Philippians 3. You see in this context what perfect sense that makes? Philippians 3, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from among the dead. You have to attain to it. You have to attain to this inner experience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to attain to it. Verses 21 and 22 uses the term, we are in a travail. Now, if you are here today, I hope you are saved. If you are not saved, I encourage you to get that way because it's a good way to be. Praise the Lord. And I think probably most of us in this room have spoken in tongues. You know that you can be saved, speak in tongues, prophesy, and be healed, and baptized in water all in the same night. How many know that? That's no mark of spiritual maturity. That's the rudiments of salvation. That's the rudiments of salvation. You can be saved, baptized in water, filled with the Spirit, speak in tongues, prophesy all in the same night. That's not spiritual maturity. That's the foundation of the gospel, according to the book of Acts. Praise the Lord. But Hebrews tells us to go on, doesn't it? Okay, well then what are you and I doing today? Talking about what happened when we spoke in tongues? Are we talking about kindergarten? Are we talking about when I used to be in a group that we didn't know Pentecost, just born again. And when you came to a meeting, everybody told their birthday. Bob, you're in a group like that. That was heavy. And I don't know if we do that with speaking in tongues. Maybe we do. But then you've got your whole Christian life. Well, what happens in your Christian life? Just what's happening to you and me today. You've got problems. You've got new challenges. You've got challenges probably you could not have borne a year ago. Why? The devil getting a lick in? No. No, Larry, that isn't what's going on. What's going on is that your life has to be broken down in a certain way so that it can be merged with Christ. Every day there's a part of you that dies and is raised again. Dies and is raised again. Dies and is raised again. Dying and behold we live. See? That's why. Isn't it true that when God requires of you to forgive someone and you wrestle with yourself and grumble and moan and complain and finally do what the Lord says, something dies, doesn't it? And something is raised up within you. When you decide not to lose your cool, just to let the thing go, not answer back, just let it go. The fires begin to die down. Do you know that? The fires begin to die down. If you don't indulge them, they begin to die down. And pretty soon, people can load all kinds of stuff on you, and you can't even work up a real burn on it. But that isn't done overnight. You know, and if you exercise your prerogatives, you know, to lose your temper every now and then, you keep that dog alive and healthy. You really will. You take him out, walk him and feed him and pet him. You know? Or self-pity or whatever. The thing to do is let it die. Let it die. And God doesn't deal with it all at once. He just deals with it a little bit at a time. Okay, it's ready for that part to go. Part A goes and Christ comes up. That's part A1. Part B goes and part B1 comes up. And like that, until all of you is changed from A to Z to the new creature. He doesn't destroy you. He transforms you. He touches you with Christ. So it's you and Christ. Yet it's a new creature with a new name. That's the resurrection. That's the kingdom of God. Paul says, my little children with whom I am again in labor. Galatians 4:19. Speaking to the saints in Galatia who are trying to go back and keep the law. They're saved. They spoke in tongues. My little children of whom I labor until Christ be born. Born. In you. Paul says it's not I. It's Christ. That's the resurrection. And we can go just as far as we will permit God to prune. We're the ones who get off the bus. God will take us to a full resurrection if we never get tired of God's dealings. If we never say, you've gone far enough, Lord. After all, nobody else is doing it. If you compare yourself with other people, you fail. You're not wise. You've got to compare yourself to the Scripture. Perfection. He can do it. We can't. We can't do anything. It's the Lord. And He can. He can cause a perfect work in us according to the Bible if we'll just let God pull us through the knothole. All right. We have to forsake all, forget all. Paul, that's what he's doing. He said, you can't be thinking about the past. You've got to push on. But as soon as Christ is brought forth, he says, we will remember the anguish no more. For joy that a man is born into the world. Hallelujah. And then he goes on and he talks about how we'll come to know the Father and all our prayers will get answered and so on. The resurrection of Jesus Christ within the human personality is the kingdom of God. That's what it is. Praise the Lord. Jesus, Lord, we're so glad that you demonstrated the power of God in Christ by laying down your life and picking it up again at will. And Lord, we know that you're alive on this earth for a month and 10 days, and what you did we do not know, but we know there was a divine purpose in that. And we know, Jesus, that you ascended up into heaven. We know that you're coming again and that we will see you. We know, Lord, if we die and go to heaven tomorrow, that we'll see you with the children and the holy angels and the saints that have gone on. We know that, Lord. But we also know, Jesus, that what you came to do was to be risen within the hearts of men and women and boys and girls. And that's the part, Lord, where we are today. How far will we go? How far will we let the Lord deal with self so that the new creature may be formed? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you so much, Lord. Be so real to us this morning that no one would ever think twice about denying you any part of his personality, lest that part be wasted in the kingdom. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is there someone here this morning? And God has been dealing with you this week, and you are digging in, and now you realize what you're doing is you're standing to lose a portion of glory because you're not giving it to the Master. If you're here this morning, just slip your hand up and put it down. Let us pray this morning. Are there any others this morning? I know that's the burden this morning. God has dealt with you and you don't like that much encroachment. Are you willing this morning? I see those hands. God bless you. Are there any others? Amen. I see those hands. Are there any others? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A number of hands this morning. All right, agree with me as I pray this morning. And those that raised your hand, now this is in the sight of God. Hallelujah. In the sight of God, we'll take you at your word. Father, these hands have been raised because they, like all of us, are human. We do not always understand, Father, nor can we see into heaven or see Jesus, and so we have to walk by faith. But we have the Word, and we know, Lord, the things that are happening to us are happening because Christ is dealing in our lives. Praise God. And so now, Father, all of us together with these dear ones who raised their hand, Lord, we say this part that we've been holding on to, this key that we won't give you, we give it to you now. We give it to you right now, Jesus. And you can do with it as you will. We take the alabaster box of our life and we break it on you, Lord. We hold nothing, 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 not life itself from your will, O Master. Take it, Lord. Take these things of ours and you do with them as you will. If you ever give them back, praise the Lord. If you don't, praise the Lord. We trust you. We trust you. We know, Jesus, that you know what is best for us. And so, Lord, we look only to a glorious and better resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, let that release now be in the hand of and heart of each one who raised his hand, that they may feel within themselves the complete breaking of that resistance. The free flowing of Christ be in each heart now. Flowing that new resurrection life, entering in, touching, hallelujah, transforming, transfiguring, cleaning out that which is merely human and replacing that which is the divine human blend, hallelujah, Son of God and Son of Man. Blessed be your name, the gold upon the wood. Let it be, Lord, in our lives, that we may be new creatures in that part that we surrender to you today. Hallelujah. You're so great, Lord. You're so outstanding. We celebrate your resurrection today. Not only in the cave of Joseph of Arimathea, that was tremendous, but Lord, what is even more tremendous in its own way and eternal and dynamic to us personally, that which is taking place within the cave that is within us. Hallelujah. As the first personality is buried, descends in God and is raised up again in newness of life and comes forth. Hallelujah. In the kingdom of God. Blessed be your name, Lord. You're so great. So great. Hallelujah.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Dwell within thy people, O Lord. Dwell within thy holy tabernacle, O Lord. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come to thy temple, O Lord. Come to thy temple, O Lord. Come to thy temple, O Lord. Thou art raised within our hearts this day, O Lord. Thou art raised within our hearts this day, O Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. worship. I asked Hank then to get the children and the ushers to prepare themselves for the communion. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Let's search our hearts this morning, saints. Let's make sure there is no malice, no bitterness from the past. Christ will wash it away this morning. Let it go. You've been speaking evil of someone this past week. Repent. Let it go. Let it go. Under the blood. Praise God. New start today. New portion from above. The body and blood of the risen Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said if we eat his flesh and drink his blood, he will raise us up in the last day. Hallelujah. Internally, saints, and in an outer form also. Praise God through his body and blood. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bob, lead us in a couple choruses while we wait.
Sing that, we'll be poured out on the back of it, okay?
You be for us, Lord.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Shall we hold the bread? And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Lord Jesus, we praise you, Lord, because you are raised and because this is your body, Lord, which is from your resurrected life, which is given unto us that we might live because you live. Grant it to each one today, a breaking of the yoke and supernatural divine strength from God, life of Christ in us. Thank you, Jesus. Shall we partake together? Praise the Lord. After the same manner also he took the cup. Shall we hold the cup? When he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Lord, we do examine ourselves today. We say, Lord, that we need renewed strength. We keep our minds straight on what we're doing, that we might not spend our attention and strength and love on the things which are not of God, but we might give ourselves wholly to the life of Christ that is growing within us each and every day. We pray you'll forgive our sins, Lord, and grant that this day will be a beginning, a new beginning for each one of us to have Christ formed within us in preparation for the great day of your coming. Praise your holy name, Lord. Praise your holy name. Shall we partake together? Shall we stand?
I live, I live, because he is risen. I live. Power over sin. I live, because he is risen. I live to worship him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, because you're alive, because you're alive, because you're alive, I live. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
ask our brother Carroll, if he will, to conclude in prayer.
Our great Holy Father, we thank you today. Thank you for giving us
Amen. Praise the Lord.